the fatherly erratic behavior. We fathers know what that means. Bible students live in the world of a book. That's our world. That's our culture. That's our civilization. We live in the world of words, which become our principles of living. We live in the world of sayings, which become the elements of faith. We live in the world of historic events, which become our experiences. When we read the experiences in the scripture, they're our experiences. And when you visit Israel, more specifically Jerusalem, the world of words, the world of sayings, and the world of events become a real world. When you walk the paths of the prophets, when you visit the sites where the miracles were conducted, you feel you were there. You feel you were walking with the prophets. When you see the tombs where the great hero of the Bible are buried, you sense they're still alive. You sense they're around because we have lived with them so many years of our lives. The Bible comes to life when you visit Israel. The Bible takes on a deeper meaning when you're there. So when Dan asked me for a few minutes to share 2 months of experience, how can you share 2 months? When you go to the Kidron Valley, now the Kidron Valley, here's Mount Scopus, and here is Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is where Abraham sacrificed, or was about to sacrifice Isaac. And over here is Mount Zion, Mount Zion, Mount Moriah, and here's Mount Scopus. And picture a great big valley, this is Kidron Valley. And literally you have to look up like this to see Mount Scopus. Get that elevation, you get a feeling for the height of the mountain, and you look up to see Mount Moriah. But as you look up, you see cemeteries all over. To the west is a cemetery, to the east is a cemetery, to the south is, there are graves all over the place. You cannot help get the feeling of Ezekiel 36. And the Jews have traditionally ascribed Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones, right there in Kidron Valley. And so you stand there in Kidron Valley, and you picture yourself like Ezekiel, with all the graves, when he had the vision of the bones coming together, and then the flesh, and then the sinew, and then the skin, depicting the restoration of Israel. And so what? So it is. Our thinking of Israel. Kidron Valley is exactly the way it was 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed one way. And I believe that the Lord is leading it that way for the kingdom. It will be an exhibition. It will be a museum for the world to come to see all the events, because on this side of the Kidron Valley is the Mount of Olives. At the bottom of Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane. On this side is the Golden Gate. That was the gate, if you remember, that Jesus walked, or was carried through by a donkey called on Sunday. And as the brook goes down, it was the brook that Hezekiah used for his escape. And King David in drawing water up for the city of David. All these events are all there. The tomb of the prophet Malachi and all the things. Absalom's tomb is there. If you walk down Palm Sunday Road, literally,
then?
Still there. On Sunday growing. Except in the days of Jesus, there was a path. Now there's a road. If you walk down that road, you think you were walking on the same road that Jesus walked. And if you looked up, there is the golden gate. The gate that he walked through in going into the Temple Mount. The only thing is it's sealed. Completely sealed. No one can go through. And there are cemeteries all over. Well, the Jews believe that the Messiah, when he comes, will come down Palm Sunday Road. And they believe that he will go through Golden Gate. This was the expectation of Jews. And he will then enter the Temple Mount in the newly constructed their temple. Well, so therefore, the Jews, everybody wants to get buried in this area. Because you see, the first thing that will happen is when the Messiah comes, he will blow the ram horn, and the first thing that happens is the graves will open and there will be a resurrection if they believe in the bodily resurrection. And so therefore it's a special privilege to be buried there because you'll be the first to go in with the Messiah. According to the Jews. And so the Messiah will then go through, and all those resurrected will go in with him into the Temple Mount. Well, the Muslims heard about that. And so we all are the Jews that have the Messiah. So what they did is they scattered their own cemeteries right across the front of Golden Gate. And they sealed it. And they assured the Messiah will not walk over the grave to the Muslims. Can't help, but when you go in one section of Mount Scopus, you say Mount of Olives, just below Mount Scopus, you can't help see Jerusalem as Jesus saw. Remember Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. I felt I was there in the exact location, because there's a spot right on Mount Olives that as you look out, you see the old. You see the wall. You see the Temple Mount. You see the Golden Gate. Jesus sure must have been there when he said that. He envisioned Herod's palace and Caiaphas' palace and the temple. Rather interesting to note how the Jews today have enshrined all of these sites. But remember a condemnation that Jesus made? Of the scribes and Pharisees. You do great things when they die, but when they're alive, you don't respect them. One of the impressions I got when I was there still remains with me. In fact, I suspect it will be with me the rest of my life. It was such an impressive thing, and I can't help but share it. We went to visit the Holocaust Museum. And there is an avenue, they call it the Avenue of the Righteous One. And it's also called the Field of the Righteous One. Everyone who has been known to help the Jews during the Nazi persecution had a tree planted. And right next to the tree is their name, John Smith, Budapest, Frank Smith, Amsterdam, Hong. And you go down this avenue, you see trees all over. And when we were there, I thought to him, the Field of the Righteous One. I said, you know, there's going to be 144,000 of these trees. One day on earth, and there will be the name of each individual, and they will be right next to a tree, and people will go back and go by, and they will see these trees, because they are the righteous ones. But then I reflected, what did I do? What am I doing? This was the message. What am I doing that would ever qualify me as a righteous? And I have to share that with you. What are you doing to qualify you as a righteous one. Think about those who hit the Jews, who saved the Jews, who helped the Jews. They put their lives on the line. And there they are, in the field of the righteous. The Gordon tomb, that is the memory. The Gordon tomb, this is the spot where is plain, but the spot where Jesus, traditionally, there are two spots where traditionally he was buried. When we went there, I was impressed at the simplicity of it all. No fancy headstone, no fancy monument, no sculpturing. In fact, I would say in New London, they have more fancier sculpturing there than they have in the tomb of Jesus. And you walk in the tomb, and you look at it, it's just nothing more than flat, plain, without fanfare, without worldly attributes. And I was impressed with the tomb. Jesus was buried there. That's so impressive. And when I was there, I reflected for a moment. I stood there for a minute. This is where he was. And then we had the sunrise service. We did attend the sunrise service. There were 3,000 people there gathered around the tomb, the Gordon tomb. And there was beautiful music, and it was a marvelous talk by a Methodist minister from England, and I found nothing in his message that was not relevant. But the theme of the whole thing, that Jesus was alive. Even though we were at the tombside, Jesus was alive. And then we went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This was the other tomb site. What a contrast! The first thing we noticed as we went to the other tomb was the money changers. They're still there! They haven't left! So they said, the tomb of Jesus is down there. You have to go downstairs and you have to go underneath the trestle and so forth. And so we went. And the first thing I noticed was over his tomb was money, shekels, implying that he must make a contribution. And then off to the right, there was the Orthodox priest with a great big box. I didn't understand what the box was. Later on, I saw what he was doing. He was making change. He was collecting seeds. And as I went in there just to see what it was all about, he looked at me with those eyes. It was almost like a tax collector. And I just looked at him back. And I walked out. But the money changers are still there. They haven't left. Dan said 15 minutes. Let me give you this last point that I want to make. We're going back. Our experience in Jerusalem is probably going to be the greatest experience of our lives. The only thing I missed in Jerusalem, not the food, they got plenty of good food there. Not the weather, 85, we missed at 85. No, they got all the physical things there, but the thing we missed. You. We really miss our family back home. We miss our spiritual family. We miss the meeting. I miss the sound that I heard this morning as we were coming together and Mark was trying to get everybody's attention and that energy and that conversation. I miss that. Nothing like that in Israel. When we go back, we will miss that. But when we go back, I expect to go to Sinai. We'll go in the third week in May. I must go to Sinai. I have to go. I'm compelled to go. I will climb the mountain. I will do this 3 o'clock in the morning. The hardship does not faze me in any way. You know why I must climb the mountain? You know why I have this compulsion? Not because Israel had their exodus at that point. Not because Israel was being born as a nation. Not even because Moses receive the Ten Commandments there. You know why I must go? I must go because God was there. It was the only place that God visited. It was the only spot on earth that God passed by. I must go there because I thirst after God. I want to go wherever He is. I want to see Him even now. But I only must be content to visit the only location on earth that He visited. I must go to Zion because God is there. We will miss you when we leave, but we will be here for at least another.